Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
You called what you said locker room banter. You described kissing women without consent, grabbing their genitals. That is sexual assault. You bragged that you have sexually assaulted women. Do you understand that?
No, I didn't say that at all. I don't think you understood what was said. This was locker room talk.
We have seen him insult women. We've seen him rate women on their appearance, ranking them from 1 to 10.
You can say any way you want to say it. But Bill Clinton was abusive to women. Hillary Clinton attacked those same women and attacked them viciously. Four of them here tonight.
We saw him after the first debate spend nearly a week denigrating a former Miss Universe in the harshest, most personal terms. So, yes, this is who Donald Trump is.
713, Todd Graham, fine SIU product. And a debate expert standing by. And you see Todd on CNN all the time. And read him as well, hopefully. Good morning, Todd. How are you?
Hey, Steve. What's going on?
Well, I'm a little worried about America, more so than before. Because last night was... I just never thought I'd see that. I never thought I'd see a presidential debate be diminished to something just barely above the Real Housewives.
And you knew it was going to happen as soon as that press conference an hour before the debate started.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. But to me, it does say something, too, about Trump's mindset that he will do anything to anybody to be proven right or to feel right about himself without any respect for the office that he wants to take over. And that should scare people, too.
I mean, there are a lot of things that should scare people about it. The first is that, you know, it's not just that, doesn't have any respect, but, you know, when you combine that with the language of he would jail Hillary Clinton, you don't do that in democracies. Right. You don't threaten your opponent to go to jail. Yeah, you just don't do that. And so there were some scary things that happened. He's had way too many close leanings towards saying things like, I like Putin. I think Assad's doing a good job. Neither of these, by the way, are accurate, but both of them show that he sort of likes strong men as leaders. And then when he says something like he would have an independent counsel investigate Hillary, well, that's already been done, and they've said she didn't do any wrong. And that he would have her in jail. I'm just like, that's frightening kind of talk.
Yeah, and it's unprecedented because anybody who has aspired to that office and has become a major party nominee understands it's not done. You don't do it. You can't do it. There was another moment last night that kind of got glossed over, but I think was pretty stark, too. We all, I think, have an understanding that he doesn't understand the job. He doesn't understand the process. But as a man of 70 years old that wants to be president, he should understand how the United States Congress works. There was a point in the debate where Hillary Clinton was making a point about something she tried to do in the Senate and couldn't be done. And he said, well, if you're a better senator, you could have gotten it done. There's not a single incident where one senator, barring parliamentary rules and leadership shenanigans, can move mountains the way he suggested. I mean, he needs Schoolhouse Rock, Todd.
Yeah. This was, I think, on just the basic sort of, I'm a bill. My name is a bill.
Exactly.
I'm on Capitol Hill. I love that one. It was the basic question, I think, about taxes or something. And he's just like, you could have fixed that. Well, I mean, she wasn't in the Senate for 30 years. He always says in your 30 years of public life, assuming like when she was first lady, she should have been able to fix
right.
these things, et cetera. So it's not just that he doesn't know how the presidency works. Apparently, he doesn't know how the first lady works. He doesn't know what the Senate does. He's just not exactly sure what anybody is supposed to be able to do. And when she was in Arkansas, apparently she was also supposed to be able to fix the national problems. So, it sounded really childish when he just said, you should have been able to do that. If you were a good senator, you could have fixed that by yourself. It's these sort of things that just – I actually wrote in my column for CNN today, one of the annoying things about Trump, frankly, is the hyperbole is just enough. My debate teams, I've often taught that hyperbole is second only to lying because judges tend to not listen to you if you exaggerate one claim after another after another. It's kind of like the boy who cried wolf, right? And so I wrote down the things last night, and I only got some of them, but he used the word disaster for education, the inner city, Syria, and Obamacare. And then he said, everything is broken. The phrase everything is broken about Obamacare. Well, that's just not true. And for immigration, he said nobody has ever seen numbers like this, and that immigrants are going to cause crimes like we've never seen. And he said it's the greatest Trojan horse of all time. And then he said NAFTA is the greatest trade deal disaster in the history of the world. My particular favorite is last hyperbole. Nobody has more respect for women than I do.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, I did a spit take in my own house at that point because I was unfortunately sipping something.
Morning, Todd. Hey, I found the deflecting to just be out of control as well. I lost count at how many times he... Now, she didn't shine, and I'll ask you about that too, but I lost count how many times he didn't answer the question, specifically when Martha Raddatz asked him twice about the Syrian refugee crisis. Is that a debate strategy that works?
No, not when it's this obvious. Now, in a normal year, we might be saying something like, well, Hillary Clinton could answer the questions a little bit better, but not this year because it looks like she's just answering them flat out directly compared to what he's doing. Normally, politicians have most of an answer about the question, or they're at least on topic. But I think the Syria question's a perfect one. I actually wrote about that because you're absolutely right. He was asked twice what we would do about the humanitarian crisis in Aleppo, and twice, he basically had no answer. And then when it came to Hillary, she said these words. She said, first, we should start a no-fly zone. Then we should perhaps arm the Kurds. And finally, we should target Baghdadi. She actually had an answer. And I think that was our starkest, most difference and our biggest contrast between the two. In one candidate doesn't know what he's talking about and won't answer the questions. And the other is giving it a full-fledged shot. Whether you like her answer or not, she's answering the question, saying this is what our policy should be.
There was a point during that answer where you could feel Trump just reaching, going, what would Gary Johnson say? What would Gary Johnson say? Talking with Todd Graham, you read him at CNN.com, debate expert, nationally known debate expert, and doing it at SIU as well. Before I let you go, though, a couple of points on Hillary. Her strategy last night seemed to be a little bit of rope-a-dope, lay back, hope that Trump implodes even further after the weekend. I don't know that that worked. I wasn't wild about the fact that Raddatz and Cooper jumped off topic so quickly when 53% of America are female voters, and Trump's opinion on women should matter. So that went by the boards. The whole thing was just Cirque du Soleil. But there was a point later in the debate where Hillary Clinton tried to answer a question by tying it into Spielberg and the Lincoln movie. And even if that's true, with her reputation and her inability to tell the truth on so many occasions, she looked like she was making it up. And it's incredible to say this, but I don't think she has room to make those kind of mistakes.
She doesn't. And here's the thing. On paper, this is what I write. The difference between on paper and actual, like, I coach debate as it's practiced. A lot of these people coach debate on paper, where they know a logical fallacy, but they don't know how it really works when you hear one. So Hillary Clinton, on paper, that answer is pretty good. Well, I can compare myself to a good president. Let's pick one. It's like Lincoln. And Lincoln had, you know, he would talk to one group one way and another group another way. That's fine. But in this election, you don't want to compare yourself with a great president right now, right? Because that kind of makes you look silly by comparison. It reminded me of the Dan Quayle, you know, comparing himself to JFK. So she shouldn't do that. She should have known that she was going to get mocked for that. She should just stick to the correct answer, which is we do, as politicians, have to persuade different groups. And that means we need different approaches in front of different people. You want to call it public and private? That's fine. And that's fair. I call it pragmatism, and I'll defend that practice.
Yeah, that's a perfect answer.
Todd, Todd, I liked her answers because, as you said, she did answer more of the questions than he did. But I didn't like the fact that she kept referring people, go to my website. That really got annoying to me at one point.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It's because he throws out so many lies. I counted them today on one website. It had 19 lies or misstatements by him. And I think she's decided there's no way I can answer them all. I use the phrase, it's in debate. We say, you just throw a bunch of stuff. We'll call it stuff today. You throw a bunch of stuff up against the wall to see what sticks. And so that's his strategy. He just throws one attack after her and a bunch of stuff on the wall to see what sticks. And we all know it takes longer to tell the truth and explain something than it does to make accusations. And so she would never be able to finish her speeches if she actually had to answer everything he brought up one after another. So she's made a conscious effort to just say, go to my website. Now, that's good, and it's what she should do, because if she got bogged down in answering what I counted up were the 21 lies, actually, that be told she'd never get there. However, she's still got to pick her times that she needs to answer some of them. So when he said on his horribleness toward women, frankly, and he said, you know, Hillary has been terrible to these women. She's just been awful to them. Well, no, she hasn't been. And so she needs to stand up for herself and say, that's the part that I'm going to have time to talk about now. The rest, go to my website. You know, so every now and then just go to my website for the rest. But right here, I'm going to answer this one thing in the 15 seconds I've got.
Every woman who's ever been victimized by an affair in America who was watching that last night had to be just nauseated. And any man who has any semblance of guilt for putting a woman through that had to be nauseated as well.
I was absolutely sickened by it.
All he did last night was get more of the people that show up at his rallies to cheer maybe a little bit louder. I can't imagine a single person watching that went, yeah, that's my guy.
He doesn't know how to debate. When we have three judges in a room, the only thing we do before the round is say, okay, on the topic we're debating, what does judge number one think? Okay, that judge is for it, and we're on the pro side, so we're good. What does judge two think? That judge is neutral. We'll have to work hard. Judge three is against us. So we're going to just focus on judges two and three. We actually ignore the judge who we think agrees with us. Because we're
already got
him in the debate, and they're going to vote for us. Trump does the exact opposite. Last night, he was debating for people who read Breitbart. It was that debate. He was debating for the people who are going to whoop it up when he says we should throw Hillary in jail.
Right.
And that's not getting independent voters, and it's certainly not getting women. I mean, Hillary Clinton doesn't get a whole lot of empathy from people in the country. They have trouble putting themselves in her shoes. Yet, most people have been cheated on, if you're a man or a woman, at some point in your life. And Donald Trump is now risking making Hillary Clinton a very sympathetic, in fact, figure, and us having empathy for her, which will turn even more independents and moderates toward her and away from him.
Right. You have to remember, too, Bill Clinton denied all of this at first. So if you put her in that role, yeah, she was a victim. She didn't know.
Well, we can't get inside people's marriages. I don't care if they're running for president or they live down the street. You just can't.
I'll give you a quick fact. I teach interpersonal communications, one PhD is in. And in fact, most of the time, you've probably had friends who are getting cheated on, and you're like, how did she not know? Or how did he not know? It's a very common thing because everybody else knows but the person involved in the relationship. And it's because we have a vested interest to not think that our relationship partner is cheating on us.
Right.
So, of course, her first reaction is going to be, no, he's not doing it. No, he's not. And to say these women are liars, because that's what everyone does.
Right.
That's just the way it is.
It's a human response.
Yeah, exactly.
DrTodGraham.com and on CNN.com. Thank you, sir.
Oh, you are very welcome. Thanks for having me on this morning.